You're listening to an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ in Brooklyn, preaching God's word to New York's biggest borough.
Morning, family. My name is Stephen Aguaya. I have the privilege of serving in the amazing campus ministry right here in Brooklyn. And I get a water. So, today, we've had the opportunity to hear from a college student and Pavel, which counts because we need to hear young men speaking about God. So that's great. I also wanted to say thank you to the church because literally the campus ministry doesn't exist without you guys. So thank you so much for your contribution. You may not even know it, but we literally will not have no campus ministry if it wasn't for the sacrifice of the church. So I'm extremely grateful for all of you guys. Now, raise your hand if you took the train to get here today. All right, so about a third of us. Okay, so when you think about it, the MTA system, it... Okay, so I knew there was going to be grumbling because you really have to go to a non-New York train system to then realize that you would much rather have the problems with the MTA than the other systems. Sure, every now and then and mostly now, it's not smooth. But if you think about just what it is for a second, it's a world underground. They've created these tunnels and streets and like it's an underground city that goes all around New York. And then if you think about how they did that initially, it was with dynamite. They would dig a hole small enough to get a person into the ground and then just start dropping dynamite into different spots. No, I'm sorry. It was a lot more like deliberate than that. They would place the dynamite in very mathematically accurate positions and blow holes into the earth. Now, dynamite is just. I'm saying this not as a go ahead to try and make this, but just as the facts, right? So please, don't try and make. Okay. So it's just sawdust and nitroglycerin. You can't get nitroglycerin like on CVS, so don't try to find that. But it's just sawdust, so like saturated in a very explosive material, and you do a little spark on that, which causes a bigger spark, and you have an incredible amount of force that's created. Now, if I told you that I have a stick of dynamite right here, and I tossed it in the front row, what you would see is a mass exodus of people scattering everywhere because you don't need to know the science of dynamite to know that it has a changing effect on the area that it lands in or around. So dynamite comes from the Greek word dynamos, which is used 120 times in the New Testament that just means power. Just power. The way that we got the word dynamite, the ability to blow stuff up, to make incredible change happens where it landed, is dynamos, which is, again, found 120 times in the New Testament, and it just means power. We're going to be looking at power today. I have a very long point and then a short point, so it's two points. We're going to look at Matthew 5. Matthew 5, we're going to read from verse 21. Talking about the power of Jesus. Matthew 5:21 says, "When Jesus had crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was still by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she had been freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized the power had gone from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples asked, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling in fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." First point, the power brings healing. Power brings healing. This woman had been bleeding for 12 years. And the Pharisees, no doubt, would have weaponized and monetized their tainted presentation of Levitical law, and this woman would have been convinced that she was broken goods forever. She was damaged, she was ostracized by society, forsaken by God, completely powerless to her physical ailment. And what I would miss so much, like when I would read this, is the obvious other side, is that she was dying. Like, I think I look at this and just think, okay, she was sick. But more than that here, like every day would have been like, "I'm not sure I'm going to make it past today." Imagine living that way for 12 years. Just, I don't know if I can go any longer. She was literally dying. Now, there's many ways you can go with this. But I think if you just watch the news for 5 minutes, what you'll see is that our world is bleeding. Children are getting killed in schools. Children that aren't legally allowed to drink alcohol. Babies are going to school and dying because of the violence that the world is in right now. Our world is bleeding. Politics have probably never been more divisive in the history of man than politics. What's supposed to be some sort of unifying entity in society has become a violent act of division. There is genuine fear, real life fear in the world that agencies designed to protect us are actually systematically eliminating us. There's genuine fear. Our world is bleeding. The food is killing us. The water is killing us. The air is killing us. The most profitable industry in the world right now is the pornography industry. Makes more than the NBA, NFL, and MLB combined on a yearly basis. That's where the money is going. Half of all internet content, half. And there's a lot of internet. Half of the entire thing is pornography. Our world is bleeding. Our world is done, and it's been a lot more than 12 years. But if I could bring it in a little bit tighter, I would say that our families are bleeding. You know what the divorce rate is in America right now? It's literally a coin toss. It's 50%. Just string together a bunch of married couples and flip a coin. Heads, you'll stay married. Tails, you're going to get a divorce. And you will be accurate to the numbers where the divorce rate is in America right now. Our marriages are bleeding. Teen pregnancies has never been higher. Never. In the United States of America. Never been higher. The average age of people are getting introduced to pornography is 10. And that's just what's on the records. So who knows? And much like this woman, we're trying to fix it, and things are just getting worse and worse. And okay, this policy is getting, worse and worse, and we're still bleeding. It's like we're completely powerless to all of this. I don't know if you've ever felt incredibly powerless. I've made a couple of dumb decisions in my life. One of them was to try and aggravate a cheetah to chase me. Now, before you go, oh, of course, because you're in Africa and cheetahs are all over the, before you do that, read a book. And we were at an enclosure that was a place you could go and play with wild animals, much like you have zoos, okay? Like everyone has those. I really wanted to get scratched by a lion so I could have like a scar. I said, hey, look, the lion. And I couldn't for the life of me get any of the lions to like, to be aggressive enough to scratch me. And then we went into the cheetah enclosure, and the guy is just like laying up against, he's just like having a, like he's just napping. Like, I didn't pay to come and see a cheetah nap. Like, you're gonna run or I'm gonna get my money back. So they gave us this like tail to kind of wave, and the cheetah would like get up and kind of, you know, lazier, just kind of like droop around. And then I thought, I wonder what happens if I run. If I just like start running, like maybe it'll get like his natural end and say, okay, cool, we're playing. Okay, this is fun. So I take off and I look back and I don't see the cheetah. It's not where it was before. And then I look forward and it's here. So, and initially I was like, yes, I did it. And then fear just drowned me. And I turn my back, and it puts its paws on my shoulders, and now the guide that works there is, like, panicking, like, no, like blowing the whistle, doing the whatever. And so if you know, so the way that cheetahs, because cheetahs aren't necessarily, like big and strong, they're like razor blades. So what they do is they'll jump on your back and just claw down, and or jump on your back front, wherever they can jump on, and claw down, just open you up, and then wait for you to, you know, no longer be able to run. So the cheetah was like, oh, great, now's my chance to get at these humans for putting me in here. And there was this moment that I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, it's a cat. It's an animal. But I felt completely like whatever this thing decides to do is what happens to my life. If the cheetah decides I'm going to let you live, then I live. If the cheetah decides, you know what, then you know what. And that's This crazy moment that I felt. I don't think I've ever felt so like, so it, nothing is in my hands anymore. I'm completely out of control. Now, that's a silly example of me being in that position, but this woman must have felt like, I got nothing. Like, how can I get out of this situation? Our world right now has got a cheetah on its back. Just completely like, we are completely out of control. And then look at what she says in verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, after over a decade of bleeding, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. She understood that the world could not fix her, because the world itself is broken, that I need to get to Jesus. So the question becomes, if power brings healing, how desperate are you to be healed? Because she, at this point, is clearly desperate. She's spent all her money, she's tried person after person after person, nothing is working. And she's aware, well, that there's nothing in the world that can fix me, because the world itself needs the fixing. I just need to get to Jesus. She was willing to look like a fool. And here's the crazy part. Also, she was willing to possibly be let down again. Like, I think, so most of us have a two-strike rule. You hurt me once, all right. Hurt me again, done. I'm out. And after years of trying, she put herself out there again, willing to be inconvenienced, willing to be wrong, because her thought was Jesus is powerful. Not in theory, but like dynamite. Like he could actually change the scenario of where he lands in. Jesus can have a dynamite effect on my life. Verse 29, immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was free from her suffering. Verse 30, at once Jesus realized the power had gone from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched me?" Now, right here is a very, very simple, very beautiful, very like, here's what Jesus came to do. Even when it didn't seem like he planned on it, he's got the power to heal. So he's here. Jesus exists here to heal. And all you need to do is get to him. Just get to Jesus. And what's very important for us to take from this is that this woman's intention didn't heal her. Like believing that Jesus had the power to do it and sitting at home meditating on how much Jesus could heal her did not heal her. Believing wholeheartedly with no doubt that Jesus is capable of healing but not going to get to Jesus will keep you in the same situation that you were yesterday. Her intention was not going to cut it. And because we can get into the habit of saying, well, God knows my heart. God knows what I'm thinking. God knows what I meant by it. God will understand. Yes. Yes, he will, because he's God. And what he wants you to understand is that you must obey. That's it. To find justification in God knows my heart is a risky stance to take, because he does know your heart. And if you're not willing to act on what you claim to feel and believe, then your heart isn't where it needs to be. She did not get healed on her intention. The power of healing came when she actually went to Jesus. Verse 31, you see people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? This point's been made a million times, but I need to hear it again. That just being close to Jesus, just being here at church on a Sunday and a Wednesday and whenever your Bible talk is and your devotional and these Christian activities does not necessarily by itself bring healing. The power is not in the proximity, but it's in the purpose. Why are you here today? Real question. If you're here because it's a Sunday, then you might not be able to access the power that God can provide. If it's just because this is my Sunday morning activity, this is what I do now, I've been doing it all my life, then you're going to miss what's supposed to happen here. Because Jesus brings dynamite power, and just because you know that dynamite is explosive doesn't mean that it's going to work. There are things that you actually have to do to access this power. There is power in obedience. There's power in lordship. And just acknowledging that doesn't cut it. Even Jesus says, your faith has healed you. Not your faith when you thought that I could fix it. Your faith when you actually came and made contact with me has healed you. It's incredibly important, family, that we understand that I think all of us, for the most part, will have great intentions about things. But those by itself is, you know, the thought that counts, it's a thought that counts, not necessarily. It's the thought paired with the action that counts. Like if I tell Hannah, babe, I meant to get you an anniversary gift. Happy anniversary. No, I guarantee you that does not work. It's the purpose of the it's a thought that counts is because when you put lots of thought into something, it makes that thing great. But you have to put it into something, not just a conceptual idea of here's how much I care for you, this thought that I have. Like we must behave like we truly believe that Jesus has dynamite power. So Jesus' power is a power to heal. He also brings peace. Jesus' power brings peace. In verse 34, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Now, peace. Interesting. You know, it's a coincidence that phonetically sounds like peace, like an actual like a piece of a puzzle. But peace truly just means wholeness. It just means that there are many parts that when you bring peace to it, it's combined. I think Patrick did a great job about this in the singles lesson about talking about shalom. That's what peace is. It's wholeness. All the essential parts are where it needs to be. The power of Jesus can bring peace, again, not in theory, but like dynamite, because all the violence in the world, so Philippians 2:3 says you must consider others better than yourself. It's very hard to go after hurting someone physically if you consider people better than you. Like the rationale for harming people is, well, you're beneath me, therefore I can treat you like this. If we take on this mentality of no, because you're made by Christ, and we have God in us, and I can't then go after physically harming. It would eliminate the violence that we're so scared of if everyone took on this instruction from Jesus. Politics couldn't divide anymore because 1 Corinthians 1:10 says that there should be no divisions in us because Christ is undivided and you're in Christ. So if we take on this mentality of, well, we're in Christ, so whatever petty disputes we have are just not important, then politics don't divide us anymore. Addiction, Romans 12:2 says that you can be made brand new by changing how you think about something. So the chains that we feel completely forever locked to are actually able to be broken through just following Jesus' instructions. Ephesians 5:25 says that we must, for broken marriages, love like Jesus loved, submit to one another. If the divorce rate changes drastically if every single marriage takes on this mentality. Well, I must love you like Jesus loved, and we must submit to each other. It changes, and it's not in theory anymore. This is real life dynamite that changes everything. It can bring hope to the hopeless. It can bring purpose. It can bring love, because Jesus is the answer, not in theory, but like dynamite. Whatever walls we've built, whatever underground tunnels that we feel, well, there's no way to get through this, just drop a stick of dynamite in there and watch the magic. And that's how Jesus functions. He is power. Now, the issue is when we don't do the instruction that leads to power. It's crazy to think that you can get a winner's trophy with a spectator's involvement. And then you're frustrated. It's like, God, why aren't you working? Well, why aren't you working? Why aren't you doing the things that God is telling us to do? And then he promises results. No, but God, I don't see it. Because you're not doing it. That's it. Because it's promised. If it's promised, then all of God is hinging on these promises coming true. All of it. Because God cannot lie. God cannot be false. So the only way that the real life results aren't happening in the way that we may feel like they should is because we're not actually doing it the way that we're supposed to. That's it. And that is not nice to hear, but it's dynamite. And hopefully what it can do is separate all the debris, all the non-God that'd be clouding our thought process. And what's going to leave is just, oh, this is how God wants me to behave. This is the behavior associated with someone that's living in the power of Christ. Not in theory, but like dynamite. And everybody has access to this. Not just No. Everybody. If you're sitting here today, you have this power accessible right now. You just have to follow the instructions. And that's not a concept that's unfamiliar to us. If you want a tax refund, there's some steps that you have to do. You have to work at a job that's going to give you your paperwork. Hopefully before May would be great. And then you have to file your taxes. And the outcome, hopefully, if you're the blessed select few, you get money back. I mean, it's like money back, but it's your money. It's like, here's what you did that we're holding for, But there's steps that you can't sit at home frustrated, hey, why am I not getting my, well, you didn't file your taxes. That's it. And it's a funny idea, but imagine God's frustration. Like, I'm ready to give you everything. All I'm asking is just do what I ask. That's it. And his instructions are not ridiculous. The world's instructions are ridiculous. What the world is demanding of us is nuts. And what God is saying is, no, my yoke is easy. It's just trust me. Just have faith that I'm going to take care of you. Just be righteous. And you get dynamite. I don't know, God. I think I'm just going to sit home on this one. And if you could please give me what I ask for in prayer, that'll be great. It doesn't make sense. But it's dynamite if handled properly. It was interesting that the guy that invented dynamite is Alfred Nobel, who the Nobel Prize was then funded by going forward. So he took all the money that he got from the patents from his dynamite and used it to fund the Nobel Prize going forward. The guy that invented dynamite is the reason that we have the Nobel Prize Award. His peace came from power. Dynamite was the initial idea, and the world got changed because of what happened because of that dynamite. You know, when Jesus says, hey, go out and change the world, it's not like it's a suggestion that he thinks could work. It's because he knows what he's saying, knows what we are capable of doing with him, and knows that we can bring peace to a world so desperately in need of it. So desperately in need to be freed from its suffering. With people that are so broken, and what it takes is power that exists in any person that has decided that I'm going to live my life completely for Jesus and his purpose in my life. And not only do you get a peace that transcends all understanding, but now you can bring peace and you can bring light into a place that is so dark. Imagine what this would do to our jobs if everyone came in aware of the dynamite that they had in them. The confidence in knowing that, you know, I'm not just here as an employee. I'm here because God has put me in here to blow a hole in this rock to make a path for something else. Our schools, our home, our family, our individual lives, that change is dynamite. And Jesus provides it. Do you want peace? It starts with power. And a power that only Christ provides. If you're here today trying to figure things out, try this. Try holding on to Jesus' power. Try trusting in something that promises to change everything it comes in contact with. And yes, dynamite's scary. Dynamite makes stuff fall. But at the end of the day, if this is true, it can change your life. Whatever you think, oh, that this wall won't move. There's this brick is too strong. Well, have you tried dynamite? That might be it. I pray that we can look back on 2018. I guess because it's, you know, once the summer hits, which seems like it's going to be forever away, but I promise you, it's coming. Once the summer hits, it's football season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then it's 2019. And then we're looking back like, whoa, what happened? Do you want a powerful year? Wherever juncture you're in life right now, grab some Jesus and wait for the explosion. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast of the New York City Church of Christ in Brooklyn. For more information about our church, visit bkchurch.com.